This episode of the Within the Trenches podcast is sponsored by Indiana Nina as well as InDigital Telecom.
Warning, this episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Don't be nervous.
Have you heard that?
Well, yeah.
There's a microphone right now.
Yeah. Wiki, wiki. Okay, so just say whichever, you know, whatever you want to say right now in the microphone, just to make sure that it's picking up your voice.
Okay, I don't, can you hear me?
All right, well, good. Because I'm recording it now, so okay. I want to make sure it picks up your voice. So you're good.
Testing, one, two, testing.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Marco.
Hello.
Good stuff. Okay, I'm gonna play it back really quick.
That needs to be the title. Don't be nervous.
Yeah, episode 84. All right. Good afternoon. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 84 of Within the Trenches, and that is episode 84. Don't be nervous. And you'll hear that in the beginning. I'm sure you already heard it in the beginning, because that part is right there in the intro. So we are here for the 2015 Indiana NINA and APCO Conference and Expo Hall, and we are at Marriott? Yes, is the Marriott as a worker passes by. Also Marriott East in Indianapolis.
He's passed and, now. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I have my guests today are out of Hamilton County, and they all three of them, dispatchers, have got Anna, Alicia, and Shay. How's it going?
Hi.
It's
going.
Hello. All right. All at once. Very nice. So is this your first day here at the conference?
It is,
or
yeah.
Were you here for the pre-conference at all?
No, this is our first day. We're doing all 3 days.
Cool. Excellent. So have you guys enjoyed the talk so far and everything that's been going on?
Yeah, it's been interesting.
Good, good. I'm glad. Yeah, I gave my talk earlier, and I have to say I was pretty nervous.
You were funny, though. That makes me
nervous.
Okay, good. I always get nervous right beforehand, but as soon as I walk up there and start talking, it's gone. But there was actually a moment. Have you ever seen those videos on YouTube where they show guys or sometimes the girls at a wedding and they're standing straight and then they just fall over? Have you ever seen that?
No,
okay.
Yes.
No. Okay. Well, you probably see it on America's Funniest Home Videos too.
My sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was getting ready for her wedding and she was upstairs at my grandma's house and her back just like went out completely, like out of nowhere. And they had to, it was funny because this was in Tipton County where I used to work. So I had to call their ambulance and they're like, is she okay? Is she okay? So they are trying to like carry this gurney up the stairs because she's completely like immobile, and carry my sister down the stairs and transfer her off to the ambulance. And they said it was just the stress of the wedding was so much for her. It just caused her back to go out. So don't
get another reason
married.
Not to get married.
Right. If you do have a wedding, I just said webbing.
Well, that's it.
Nice.
I mean, I don't want a wedding
with
or
Spider-Man.
A wedding. I told you. Told you I was nervous.
Well, you know, I had heard that, you know, a lot of the times when people are standing there, I forget how it is, if you're standing with your legs straight or buckled or something like that, that it ends up, you know, making you pass out. Well, however I was standing when I was up there first, because usually when I give talks, I'm kind of walking back and forth or kind of moving around. And I had the podium right there. So I couldn't really move because the microphone doesn't move anywhere with me. I mean, I guess I could have got and started going, you know, walking around like this and talking like that. But I felt myself get a little woozy. So there was a part there where I was trying to remember what I was going to say. And then I felt that little bit of wooziness. I was like, oh shit, I'm going to go down. So I started, I don't think anybody could see it, but I kind of moved up and down a little bit with my legs and I could feel like the blood circulating again. I was like, thank God.
It's a good thing you're in a room full of dispatchers.
That is.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
If you're going to keel over, that's the place to do it, buddy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That actually would have been good. especially if somebody was taking video. That would have been, like I said, when I was up there, I mean, if it's at my expense in humor, I'm all about it. Yeah, I'd be the one laying there hearing everybody's, you know, are you okay? You're okay. You go call 911. You get the AED.
If somebody passes out, where's the exit? Where's the AED?
You know, I used to run that. Well, I still do now because I'm still EMD certified and CPR certified and stuff. So whenever I'm in the store and I'm in the, you know, going to check out, anybody who's in front of me, especially if, you know, it's like the elderly or something, I start running scenarios.
I've totally done that.
Okay, if this person goes down, what am I going to do first? And am I actually going to do it? Well, yeah, of course I'm going to do it.
I've totally done that. I've gone into a restaurant, I'm like, I'm not sitting by them. It's just a possibility, and that's not happening.
Right? Oh, man, yes, definitely crazy. But what we're doing here, you know, I want to get your stories. You know, how did you start in 911? What was your motivation? You know, what really pushed you to be in public safety? So whoever would like to start, or maybe the person who has the most years under their belt. How about that?
I guess that's me.
Yay. How many years?
Five.
Okay.
I don't know. I was working at Arby's and my dad was he was the district manager. So he was like top dog. So like everybody was like, ooh, be careful around the manager's daughter. But I hated my job. I hated it, but I had to stay there. That was the agreement with my dad. I had to stay there till I graduated high school. So I graduated high school and like the day after I was like, peace out, Girl Scout. So I saw a local ad for a neighboring county hiring a 911 dispatcher. I'm like, yeah, I could probably do that. No idea what it entailed. Nobody in my family is in law enforcement, nothing. So I applied. There's like 124 applicants and three spots open. And the director liked me. She said I reminded her of her daughter. And no idea. I remember on my first day asking what en route meant.
So, is that en route or en route? Yeah. How's that even spelled?
Some people say en route. So
yeah.
So they're like, really? Yeah. So yeah, I just kind of fell into it and fell in love with it. Fell in love with the job. I really liked the change of pace all the time. It's always different. You obviously never know what you're going to get when you go to work. And then since then, I just kind of branched out. After that, I went to Tipton County and ended up in Hamilton County. Sorry. Ended up in Hamilton County. I started in Miami. I wanted to move on to bigger and better, and they're busier in Hamilton County. There's a lot more going on. So it's kind of where I just end up. So I literally like fell into it because I hated working at Arby's.
But they have good sandwiches.
Not see, my first outing from the hospital was to go to Arby's. So I have like Arby's sauce in my blood and I hate it. Like the smell, like when I walk into the Arby's, I get like immediately nauseous. Like, ugh.
Really?
Yeah.
And you just walk in and you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
I walk in and I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I totally do that.
Curly fries, jalapeno poppers. Give me a big classic. Nice. So how big is your center then?
We dispatch for all of Hamilton County.
It's about 300,000 residents. We have, what, 9 police agencies, 10 or 11 fire agencies, and it's, what, a 12 or 13 shift minimum, and we've got still 4 shifts of 12 hours. So.
And how many people work at a time?
12 to 13.
Yeah, 12 or 13 minimum, and we've got, I think, 70 employees total.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
My last PSAP, we had... I think I said it in there, but our minimum was 3 on for the county.
Yeah, see, I came from Tipton County, and I went from that to 12. So it was like a huge difference. So yeah, I hear you. And like, I remember, I don't even know if I can say this, but like playing Wii at work, like in Tipton County on night shift, and the officers would come in and like play Wii bowling with us, and we'd just hang out. That's what we would do for 12 hours. I mean, there was nights I probably took like 1 or 2 911 calls. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's such like a shell shock to go from that to Hamilton County.
Yeah, that's the opposite for me. I started out at Hamilton County. So when I heard like other agencies started out, they have like 1 dispatcher. Like, holy crap, how do you do it?
Yeah, that's exactly how I started out, a small police department. It was just me for 8 hours. And when it would go crazy, because I worked in Florida. And for whatever reason, people like to start the orange groves on fire. So we'd have to call the DNR out and it would just be nuts. And yeah, it'd be crazy in there. I'd be in there sweating balls, you know, freaking out. I'm like, there's not one person here to help me. I don't know how people do this, but you know, you just stick with your guns and you keep going and
you don't really have a choice.
Exactly. Yeah. You do what you got to do. Yeah. There's nobody else there. You can't just sit in the corner and cry. Well, I guess you could.
And you can't walk out because you'd feel terrible. I mean, you'd have to be a really terrible person just to.
Yeah. You'd have to be a big old jerk. Yeah. I'm out of here. I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, one of the other things with the Orange Grove fires that people used to do, we'd get a phone call. And they would say, you know, my car's been stolen. I'm like, okay, well, where do you live? And, you know, they'd give a description of the car and everything else. And we'd get an officer heading out there. And about an hour or so later, we would get a phone call for a car fire in the Orange Groves. And it would be their car. And the majority of the time, it was them who had somebody else take their car into the groves because they didn't want to pay it anymore. So they wanted the loot from insurance.
Oh, dirty work.
Yeah,
no joke.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah, man. Oh. It was stupid. People are stupid. I mean.
Yeah, but that's job security.
That is. Exactly. Yes.
As long as there are stupid people that walk the earth, we will have a job.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and you say that, but then the whole Noblesville-Westfield Center disappeared.
They combined.
Yeah, but they lost employees. So I'm just
saying. That was their choice.
Yeah. You know, some of that crap you can't help. What do you do? And of course, for those who are listening, we're joking and everything else, but we are serious as well. One of the things you guys have to understand who are listening is that when you're in this profession, you need dark humor, or you need some sort of sense of humor to get through it, because otherwise you're going to dwell on the BS that comes with the job and you're not going to make it. You're just going to fry out. So there you go. Now, how about you, Alicia? What was your whole, you know, motivation?
Well, I actually lived in Nashville before this, mm-hmm. Tennessee, not Indiana.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I worked at a hotel, so I moved up here, of course, because of a boy. Mm-hmm. So when I moved back up here, I moved in with him and his family, and his dad was actually a reserve officer for the county sheriff's department. Mm-hmm. And I was blessed enough to get to know them, and they actually watch my daughter every day. So they introduced me to everyone at the dispatch center, and I filled out an application. It kind of just went from there. And I honestly hated the job at first. I hated it.
Oh, that's good to hear, because I hated other people.
Yeah. I hated it so much. They were going through the merge, mm-hmm. what they call the merge. And everybody was so upset and just trying to pull everything together. And it's taken me, I've worked there for 2.5 years almost. Mm-hmm. And it took me 1.5 years to start liking the job. So I didn't know anything about law enforcement before that. So
was it more the people that you worked with versus the actual job that you didn't like, or was it just all together?
I think it was at first the people that I worked with. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of negativity in there, and you have to break yourself and get thick skin to break through it, because they have a dark humor. So when you're first starting out, you're like, I don't have this sense of humor. How do I do this?
How can you joke about CPR and everything else?
So it finally, after a while, I've grown. I mean, we still have our problems there, mm-hmm. but I've grown most part a family. So.
No, that's good to hear, because when I was working in dispatch, that was probably one of the best things. You know, it's your second family. They're ones that you spend the most of your time with. And, you know, I was doing all this overtime at the last PSOP that I was at. And it was like, you know, the girls that I work with, they were like my work spouses almost.
I had a joke with one of the guys that I used to work with. I'm like, hey, hubby, how are you?
Right. You see these people way more than you see anybody else. So it almost turns that way. And then when you're telling them to go somewhere and they don't listen, it's like, hey, you better recognize.
Yeah. And I actually had a joke with them. I was like, they make me mad and be like, I'm breaking up with you.
Done. I was like, it's completely over. We're going to go out to lunch later or
you're paying, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, Shay, how about you? How did you get into it?
I actually started out as an EMT when I turned 18. I took that class. Before I grew up on a farm, so kind of a change from that. And then I went on from being an EMT. I worked for a private ambulance service to being a dispatcher for them and an EMT as well. And I kind of wanted to branch out. We did a lot of transportation type details and I was bored out of my mind. I would be the only dispatcher on taking all these calls and I was honestly bored. It wasn't fulfilling enough. I liked dispatching. I had to take, you know, I had to go and get my EMD. So I went into this class and I'm with all of these 911 dispatchers. I'm like, I don't belong in here. They think I'm a poser.
So you're a wannabe.
I swore. I'm like, they're giving me side eye. So I definitely I started sending out my resume everywhere, basically being a pain in the ass to every HR person. Like, hey, it's Shay again. What are you doing? You're hiring, right?
I want to get up on this.
Exactly. Like, you know, I'd be so great in your center. And I finally got an interview with Hamilton County and found out like a week later that I got the job. So
nice.
I've been there almost 2.5 years. Yeah, I started right after Alicia.
So what was the interview process like?
I had to... It's changed a lot from since we first started. All I did was I had sent in my resume and all of my certifications, which was actually like 30 pages.
Snap.
Right? Like, that's what I'm like, no, I swear I'm not a poser. I'm legit. Yeah.
I've got all of this here.
Exactly. I'm like, I swear.
Read through it.
Exactly.
I could do a PowerPoint on it.
Right? Like, I'm that amazing and you're not getting it. So, no, I just filled out the application and it still took like 2 months until I got hired, but it was just filling out the application and finally getting an interview. And I just had the one interview and found out a week later I got the job, but now it's a whole testing process and they'll have a bunch of people that'll have an interview. And then the people that make it from the interview, I think they test and then...
I think it's the opposite. Yeah. They have to test, so they eliminate everybody right there.
So they test. And then I think they have two interviews. I know there's two interviews. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the order, but it's a big process now and...
Holy crap, man.
Yeah. That's what happens when you get new directors.
Yeah, I got hired. And my interview is a panel of like five people. I just had a director. I did one like that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like I would have never been so nervous for an interview, but it was like the chief of police, the chief of fire, like all the head dogs. The sheriff was in there. You had the director of operations.
I just had one person.
Either. Yeah, no.
Well, I had that 30-page book.
They're like, yeah, you know, she's kind of awesome. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, kind of a big deal.
Yeah, kind of like a shoulder brush.
Yeah. I had something similar before my last PSAP, so Allegan. Before I got hired there, I went to interview for a different one. It was Kent County. And I have people that I know that work at Kent County, so they're going to hear this. I've never given the name before until now. Well, there it is. Hi, guys.
Episode 84.
Yeah. Don't be nervous. So I had gone in and I'm trying to remember now. I think it was the typing test first is what they did. So we went in and we had to do a typing test and we had to type at least 25 words per minute. And I was like, man, this is going to be easy. But you could only mess up 3 times, I think it was. Ooh, and then you were completely done. So I'm all typing really fast and stuff. And then I messed up once and I was like, oh, crap. All right. Well, maybe I should slow it down. And I was just, you know, kind of got going, you know, at a good pace. And I passed it. And I was like, all right, good. I should have just done that in the beginning. I would have aced it. So from there, you go into this room and it was me and about 20 other people. And you're all sitting at tables. And they play radio traffic over the intercom. And at the time, I mean, because I was already working in Florida before, I had that trained ear already. So I could tell what they were saying. And they told us, you know, you need to write down exactly what you're hearing. You know, everything that the officer is saying or the dispatcher is saying, you need to write all this stuff down. So I'm listening to it. I was like, man, this is easy. And other people were like, I don't know what they're saying. Like, how am I supposed to know what this is? I was like, yeah, I got this. Well, then after that, like you, it was a panel interview and it was all the top people. I had six people there and they're on one side of the table and I'm on the other side of the table, which already is nerve wracking, as you know, you were saying. So, you know, cause you went through it as well. And they each had a line of questions. The first person would go, but then each of the other people would throw out questions to build on that question. And it kept going like that. My interview with them was almost 3 hours.
Oh my goodness.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was nuts. By the time I got out of there, I was all like sweating and stuff. My clothes are sticking to me. I was like, this is crazy. Like, I was not expecting this. Well, they said that I ended up passing and I did very well. So they went and they introduced me to my trainer, what I was going to be doing, the locker. They're like, your locker is going to be this one. I was like, hell yeah. I was like, I did good. Well, a week later, I get a phone call from the captain and he says, I didn't make it. And I said, yeah. You guys said that I made it. Everything went through. And they're like, well, we found something on your background. And I was like, okay.
Fat stolen car.
Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah. Stolen car. That was good. it wasn't that, but I was kind of freaking out because I didn't know what he was talking about. And he ended up telling me that my credit score wasn't as high as they wanted it to be.
What?
Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah. So I didn't get the job because of my credit score.
That's insane.
And so I asked him, I said, well, why? I said, it's pretty high. And he goes, it's not as high as we would want it to be. And I said, okay, but why? You know, what's the point of that? And he goes, well, we see that as being responsible. It's your responsibility. So if you're not responsible enough to do stuff like that, then so yeah. Sad. Yeah. So I didn't get the job.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is.
I'd fail.
You don't want to work with
I'm
him
only
anyway.
22. I don't. I barely have credits.
Yeah. So that really sucked. But then, you know, and the other thing was that the story that I told about the car, you know, a lot of the stuff that I had, I was co-signer on and it was just left. So, you know, I didn't know any of that stuff had happened. So that's why some of the stuff had gone down. I was like, oh, it's not even my fault that this is going on. But then when I went to Allegan, I made it through all the way there. I was the only one that they chose to go further. And I talked to the lieutenant and I told him right off the bat, I said, this is what you're going to find. This is my backstory. And I hope I work out. And he goes, no, we already looked you up and you're good to go. So, thank you, Scott Matthijs. I'll always be grateful for you because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have gone through everything and where I am at today. So, yeah, that was some crazy crap that I had to go through. That interview process was grueling. So how about, you know, your first calls? You remember your first calls at all?
I remember my first call sitting Carmel Dispatch. It was a lady. She called 911 because her neighbor was mowing too far into her yard.
Oh, geez.
And she was sure that was against the law.
You know, that's crazy that people call for stuff like that. I don't understand.
They don't understand what constitutes having an officer come out because you will get them to call in a certain city for, okay, their neighbor's dog used the restroom in their yard. They want us to send CSI to test it. I'm like, really?
Yeah, but they have that now in Carmel.
Yeah.
I don't care if they do have it. I'm like, listen, get you a dog. You get you another dog. You get some television. You get you a boyfriend.
Like, a boyfriend? Yes. I was waiting for you to like do a snap.
There you go. There it is.
My Z snap. Yeah. No, like get a hobby. Like quit calling for ridiculous things. Like,
yeah, that's.
I understand that they don't get it. So that's right, why they do call us. For everything, you know, they leave their curling iron on. They want the officer to go turn it off. They'll give us the garage code. We do that stuff.
Yeah, I think the most irritating one is in any city is it's like every time somebody calls in, there's a person in my neighborhood.
What does that mean?
They're like, I know he doesn't live in this neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, no, they'll definitely say that. Like,
that's stupid.
I know everyone in this neighborhood. And now, if you pick up what I'm putting down, he doesn't.
Yeah, they just dance around it. They don't hurt my to say it.
What? No, I want you to tell me that you're being really. Well, yeah. I guess I'm not going to say what I was going to.
Jerky.
Yes, you suck at life.
Right. You know, we, well, because I'm from Southwest Michigan. So we've got Lake Michigan right there. And there's some resort towns, and people have their private beach, and they would call. Because people are walking on their section of the beach. But I mean, it's right there by the water. You know, it's not a beach. In
like,
their,
get off of it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, one of my coworkers who's a training coordinator where I was working, I believe if I remember correctly, somebody called on her and her mom and her kids, and they were in the water, and they're like, go ahead, call 911, see what happens.
It's my private ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, geez, some of the people that call in, it's like, just come on.
Those are the people I'm like, you know, those are the people I'm like, I want you to sit with me for 12 hours. 12 hours out of your time, or give me six, because
even the officers should do that.
I've got a whole list. I'm like, he needs to come sit down here. You don't know.
See, there's another snap moment.
Like, you
should do it in an S for Shay.
I should. I just developed a new thing.
There you go. The Shay with a twist.
Yes. With a swirl.
Oh, no. That's right. Oh. Swirly. Yeah. So. So how about your like best or worst calls? How about that?
I don't know. I mean, one year I had a really bad, year. I had 4.5 suicide by gunshots. I delivered 2 childbirths.
And a partridge in a pear tree or what?
Sinking vehicle with the occupant still in it. So
holy crap.
I mean, I have a list, but the funny thing is I had to deliver both of those babies before I ever had to do CPR over the phone, because everybody, when I got to them, they were already dead.
Oh man.
So I was Dr. Doom there for a while.
I was going to say, do you have a name, or are you that person that causes all the crap
to happen?
They
used to, they would hang, like, we put stick figures on sticky notes and hang them on my locker and call it the graveyard.
Holy crap.
I know, that's that demented sense
of humor.
That
is morbid.
Yeah. See, and I had a coworker, and she works at a neighboring PSAP now, but, her name is Jill. And she went through a period like that where it was all deaths. Like, if you worked with her, crazy stuff was going to happen. Yep. So I started calling her Jill of the Killer, because everything seemed to happen when. Yeah. So I started calling her that, and she was like, thanks a lot, Ricardo. I'm like, you're welcome. I love you too.
Yeah. So like, I have like 10 calls that I had like a horrible experience with her. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you would say it, but
how did you deal with it? I mean, was it just talking with your coworkers, or did you have someone at home that, I mean, cause sometimes, you know, relatives or whatever, they don't know where you're coming from. They don't understand the way, you know, we would hear what you're going through. So how did you deal with it?
I don't know. Like, I don't know like how it is for other people, but like when I'm on the phone, I just like shut my mind off, like turn that part of like my emotions off, and I just deal with them later. Cause like, you can't be emotional. Like, even though you want to be, you know, crying with a person who just witnessed their husband shoot himself in the head, you can't.
Right.
And you just kind of shut that part of you off. And I'm sure you guys know you have to do that to get through the workday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you just kind of deal with it later. I mean, I talked to my coworkers about it. I mean, they're the best people to talk to about it, because they get it. They've been there. They understand better than anybody else. They understand like having to just go on with your workday and deal with your feelings when it's convenient.
Yeah.
So I guess I just reached out to them.
That's good. But it's good that you actually reached out, because a lot of people don't. And, you know, they hold it in. I, being one of them, I wouldn't talk to anybody about it, and it would just eat me up inside. And, that's pretty much why I started, you know, writing all this stuff down. It was therapeutic for me to write it down in my blog and just lay it all out there, even though the powers that be didn't want me to do it. Yeah. I was like, no, I got to do something, because I kind of need this, and I'd love to write anyway. So that was my way to, you know, just let it all go. So that worked for me. You know, it doesn't work for everybody, but that worked for me. What about you, Alicia? Any worst calls, best calls, anything that you can recall?
Actually, probably the one that comes to the top of my head is I had this guy, which is actually sad, but he had dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So he was calling in, and he really believed that somebody had put cameras in his house. They were all over his house. So I'm sitting there talking to him, and he's like, shh, don't talk. They're listening. Okay. So, and I had to go back and read all of the call history. Cause I mean, it wasn't the first time he'd call it.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think those are like the best worst ones, actually. Cause you know what they're going through, mm-hmm. but they have like a funny side to them.
Right.
Like, I want to know what they're thinking.
Yeah, it's interesting how that happens. I had something, you know, similar where I had just started working in Allegan, and this lady called, and she lived in a trailer, and she was just screaming and yelling that there were that these guys were coming in. So I put in the complaint, and the officers are, you know, balls to the wall, heading out their lights and sirens. And I said, "Where are they? Which door are they at?" She goes, "They're not at a door. They're not at a door." I said, "Well, where are they? Where are they coming in from?" She goes, "They're coming in from the floor. They have a chainsaw." And then I was like, "What?" And I was like, "This isn't adding up." So then the sergeant that was heading out there wanted me to go to our secondary channel. And so I put my phone up and so, you know, that she couldn't really hear what was going on with me talking on the radio. And he was saying that she was a dementia patient as well. He goes, we've been out there before. He goes, I didn't catch the complete address at first. He goes, I was trying to figure out who lived there. He goes, but that's what's going on there.
Yeah, I had one guy call in and he said, there's water coming from my ceiling down the wall.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So I send somebody out there and they're like, there's nothing out here. There's no water on the walls. So I guess that he was a dementia patient. It's like,
or he was tripping on acid.
Maybe.
That sounds way more fun.
I was like, okay, well, next call. Yeah.
He was losing his mind with magic mushrooms.
Oh, we had one of those the other day. I was laughing so hard on the radio that I actually had to stop transmitting because I was hiccuping. Like, no, this guy calls in, and I put it out as a 1096, which is our code for a mental person.
Yes, that was our code as
yes.
well.
Yeah. So I put out the address and I said, officer, start to this address for a mental person. And this is one of those times where I should have read the call before I started talking.
Oh, totally those didn't are the do that. Worst.
Yes, yeah. Right? So I'm like halfway through and I'm reading it and it's, oh my God, it was so ridiculous. There was 7 subjects, 2 of them having sex, and then one of them's hanging from a tree. It was a fairy hanging from a tree. So I'm like trying to put this out. And I'm like halfway, exactly. I'm like, and I know these officers that are going, so I'm in the middle of saying, you know, 7 subjects, and I'm getting to the 2 that are having sex, and my partner next to me is like, shut up, shut up, shut up. I'm like, really? Why are you doing this to me right now? So I tell him, like, okay, I laughing, I mean, hysterically, I'm like, you have to read your notes. So then, of course, one of them being kind of a smart ass, super, super nice guy, but he's like, dispatch, the fairy hanging from the tree, is that a suicidal subject or is that sexual related? And I'm like, how do you answer
like
that?
Ron Stand Burgundy, back. Who's just reading it and just not paying attention.
If only I could be that robotic, because if they could have seen my face, I was mortified that I was laughing so hard. And then I hear the supervisor on car to car go, so-and-so, go to sheriff. And I'm like, oh God, no, I'm fired.
You're dead
like,
now.
I just lost my job.
Speaking of fairy hanging in the tree.
Right? I'm like, it wasn't me, I swear.
I had, when I first started, mm-hmm. I had just got released and I was really new to everything and I didn't really know street names. So there is.
And they released you?
yeah, well.
Nice.
We'll talk about that.
Okay, good.
So it was Hazeldell Crossing. And I didn't know street names. So in our CAD, it's Hazeldell Xing.
You said Xing, didn't you?
I did. I said, it's Hazeldell Xing. And then I went back and I started busting out laughing and I said, oh, crossing. And he hits back up. He's like, dispatch, I'm clear on Xing. I'm like, thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, see, totally done. That's the best because, you know, whenever I would, you know, jack something up on the radio, if I was keyed up while doing it, I would immediately laugh. And I would just keep it open because
I'm the worst at that.
Yeah, I would just keep it open because I was saying earlier, if it's at my expense in, you know, sense of humor, you know, laughing and stuff, I'm going to go ahead and go with it because, you know, they're still going to heckle me anyway. So I might as well call myself out.
Exactly. You might as well
out.
Have fun with it. That's,
right.
No, that's,
yeah, yeah.
That's how I have to be like, at this point, they might as well have like a running dialogue of this stupid shit that Shay's done. Like just a list of
it. Should be called
it.
That too.
And I think it's a perfect name because stupid just the stupid that shit that Shay has done is unreal. Like I tried to put out Dado Court one day. I didn't know how to say it. I said Dado. And then I start laughing because they're all telling me it's not right. So I'm like, you need to respond to DADO. And the officer, okay, we're clear on DADO dispatch.
Oh, man. You know, and the good thing too is that sometimes the officers don't, you know, say the right thing. And I was on radios once. And one of I think he had just gotten out of the academy and he'd started and he was in training and he goes, Central, you know, I'm going to be out at, you know, so-and-so location and I'm out with a four-door silver Grand Prix. And I started busting up and I even keyed up so that he could hear me laughing. And then I unkeyed and we're all in the room just laughing and laughing. And I'm getting messages already on my MDT and people are like, did he really say that? And I said, yeah, he did. And I said, 10-4, I'm clear in the Grand Prix. And he keys up and he's just Grand Prix. And I said, 10-4, I'm clear on the Grand Prix as well. You have two vehicles out there? He's like, no. And yeah, so from that time on, we always you know, associated a Grand Prix with him. Even when he'd come in, like, hey, Grand Prix, what up, guys?
See, that's the thing. Like, I've got so many things that are associated with me. Like, sometimes it's possible that we accidentally say swear words over the radio. So,
yeah,
you can't live that down.
Right. No, you can't, especially when you have an open mic.
Yeah.
And our button used to stick all the time.
That's how our old radios were.
So if you hit the button and you're talking, I know myself, I would do it all the time. I would hit the button and then I'd be like, just hitting it. And then one of the officers would get on
an open mic.
Yeah, they would get on the radio. And, well, it would remain open that whole time that I was hitting the button. So afterwards, when it finally would fix, I would say 10-4. And then an officer would come back up just busting up laughing. Are you guys all right up there? Is everything okay?
I was like,
well, yeah, I'm all right. just screwing up the stupid radio.
Oh, yeah. We joke about that all the time there because we have the cords, so everybody's pulling stuff down, and mm-hmm. you try to walk across the room, and something knocks over. And
well, yeah, especially
that's
when you
why
pull
I can't have anything
mouse.
Nice here.
Exactly.
People always messing up stuff, breaking the clips, everything.
Do you ever have any issues where people leave silverware laying around?
Oh, we have chewed up pins.
Oh, chewed up
yes.
pens.
Yeah. Yes. What? It's so gross.
It is.
Yeah.
Like the pen look. Caps.
Well,
we get
right,
like the
yeah.
boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody, and we can't seem to find out who. Obviously, like, somebody at some point has a pin in their fucking mouth, or effing mouth. But, I mean, it's so gross. And, like, you'll go to pick one.
Maybe
like,
you're the one who's doing it.
It's, no.
I'm kidding.
No.
It's probably her.
Yeah. It's not me. It's
you're
not
probably,
me.
Like, blacking out
so
or seizing when this is going on. You don't know what's going on.
So I got so many vices, and that is not one of them.
You're just like, ah.
No.
So, okay, so you guys have pens and then you said silverware as well?
Yeah, no, it's just on the fireside because it's one person.
Yeah, we know who it is, but we had a cup.
We know
don't
who
say
you
their
are.
Name.
No.
We had a cup literally for 2 weeks and like nobody would take it into the kitchen because everyone's like, I'm fed up. I'm tired of cleaning up after this person. Like, I'm done. And like, he or she is completely aware of it.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's, I don't know.
It's
don't
their
know.
Spouse. Their how spouse your... cleans up after them, so they don't know how anymore.
Wah. What about keyboards? Our keyboards used to get dirty as hell.
Yes.
Yes.
And I took like a picture one time.
I don't think I have it anymore.
Oh my God. It was so gross.
Was
like
it
she
nasty?
Turned, yes. She turned like a keyboard upside down and like beat on it with like white paper underneath. And you see this pile
a bunch of ranch Doritos yeah, come out.
Basically just
there was
gunk.
Like hair. There was like a fingernail polish. Like
yeah.
Chips. There was like fingernails in there.
Yeah. What? And
it
it's
was
sad because we try to clean them out. But I mean,
how
without
do you clean
breaking,
a keyboard?
Without breaking it, no. It's like.
Right.
See, we used it's to, good for you. You develop an immune system.
We used to keep keyboards, extra ones, in one of our offices there so that whenever they would get really bad, which...
Oh, that's...
Yeah, I mean,
that.
Yeah, it was good, but that also showed how dirty as hell we were. But I mean, you'd go to start typing. It's like, why is everything sticky?
Yeah, we have Clorox wipes. Those things go like that.
They're yeah.
Gone.
Yeah. You know, I had a couple girls that I worked with that they had like their own stash. And if you coughed like even once or sneezed or something, I'm like, no, it was allergies or it was the dust or whatever. You'd see them right as you're leaving. Like,
oh,
Just wax on, wax off.
We do that
all
every
over the
time
place.
Somebody leaves.
Every time? Shifts.
Yeah, every time.
And we have the aerosol spray.
That's why I'm sick less than you people. Because I just like building it up. I'm just going to get used to it.
You're the reason why everybody gets sick.
No, I'm not. Don't give me that look.
I don't know, man. It sounds like you're the
pin chewing sick person.
I am not.
Spreading your nasty germs with the pins.
No.
Gross. It's not me. It's nasty.
Stop. You're making me feel so guilty. It's not even me.
So it is you.
It's not.
Oh, see, we are like a family. We go fight with our brother and sisters or who else, and we fight with people that we work with. So really, it all evens out.
In a friendly manner, not like... I hate you.
A family.
Yeah, there's no you know, violence or anything.
No.
Well, joking. Sometimes we throw the little squishy balls at each other.
Oh, holy crap. So we used to do the same thing. We had little styrofoam planes and we would whip them.
Oh, we've got this like the ambulance ones.
See, we would throw them at each other too if somebody was on a non-emergency call. Just try to throw them at. Yeah.
We like doing it when people. I probably shouldn't even say this. I'm going to get fired when like they're like dispatching out a call. Uh-huh. Just try to get them to be like, oh shit, or something like that over the radio. Like middle of transmission.
Well, because it's funny, of course. You know, if you're doing it in a, you know, a non-emergency, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, we used to do it all the time. I started doing the meow thing from Super Troopers. Yeah. So I would do that all the time. And we would do that. Or one of the times I was on our lean channel, which is the IDAX around here. And I was running something for one of the canine officers. And the person's last name was Crowley. And I don't know if you know the song, Mr. Crowley, mm-hmm. You know, okay. Well, Ozzy Osbourne. So he gives me the name and everything. And I said, Central Canine One, you advise that was Mr. Crowley. And he goes, that's affirmative Central as an Ozzy. And I was like, yeah, like, that's my boy. Yeah, you know, so we used to do that a lot of time because there's so much crap that's going on in dispatch and everything else. You got to kind of break up the shittiness that can be dispatch, you know, by throwing out that humor. I was telling the group that I was with yesterday, I believe it was Kelly and Victoria from Vigo County and then Nirvana from Lafayette. You know, I was telling them that one of the things that we would do when we would answer the phone is that we would do pirate talk. We would try to talk like a pirate. Awesome. So we would try to get in an R, you know, in there to keep going. And if you did it, it was like, yeah, 20 points. Yeah, I got it. Of course, on non-emergency. But, you know, it was always fun to try to do stupid shit like that.
We've done that. Word of the day before. You have to get that word of the day over the radio.
Oh, nice.
Like shenanigans was one. Cattywampus.
Cattywampus.
Hooligans. I don't remember any other ones.
I did aardvark one day.
Aardvark.
Wow, look at you.
Right? And they got it in. It was great. They found like a pile of animal bones. So he starts naming off animals. He's like, might be a possum, might be marsupial. It's possibly an aardvark. I'm like, yes, you did it.
Yeah. Oh, man. I remember once when I was first starting in Allegan and there was an officer who keyed up on the radio and he screamed. And of course, you know, when you hear an officer scream like that, the first thing you think is, oh shit, you know, what's going on? And so we're asking him, we're like, what happened? And he goes, an emu just jumped over the hood of my car.
What?
Yeah. In the area that he was in, they had a farm out there, an exotic one, and they had emus. And which, what is it? It's like, pretty much like an ostrich, right?
Yeah.
And this thing ran across. It got out of the fence and ran across and just jumped over the hood of his car. So he was freaking out. He's like, you wouldn't believe that shit. And we're like, oh, he's swearing on the radio as well. He's just freaking out, man. But yeah, that was pretty awesome. It was one of the best things. You know, going into the wrap up of this episode, there was a call that we were talking about earlier. It had to do with like a small puddle.
Oh, God. I thought we were going to get through this without, like, touching on that.
Oh, yeah, we're going to touch on it. No names, no roads, okay, nothing like that, though.
Right. No, it was a really bad storm.
And if you didn't hear that in the background, she was already giving a knee slapper, because this is a knee slapper.
I use my hands for the people out there. I like to, I want you to feel incorporated.
That's right.
What I'm talking
about. That's good. I mean, I'm already, you know, doing the robot over here, the little teapot. Right?
No, we had a really bad storm on a holiday, and there were a lot of people out, and we wind up getting a bunch of calls because we had a lot of roads with high water. And we wind up getting a bunch of 911 calls at once. And one of the ones that I had taken at this particular time was a woman who's telling me that she is trapped in her vehicle. The vehicle is sinking and the water is rising. And at this time, I'm at a console that didn't have EMD or EFD. And for anyone that doesn't know, it's a computer program that helps us ask people certain questions. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a card set either that had the same questions on it. So I'm doing by just instinct, common sense. So I'm telling her I'm getting this woman to rip off her headrest. She's beating the shit out of her window. Like,
you use your resources. Yeah, you think about it. Yeah.
I'm trying to just do anything that, okay, we're going to get her out of this car. I'm thinking, I am Maverick. I'm going to save her life and I'm going to be a beast. So I'm like, you know, it's power windows. She can't roll the windows down. So she gets, like, she winds up getting the window down. I don't think she actually used the headrest, but I'm telling her to rip this bitch off. I'm like, you're going to beat on it.
Yeah. So, we're going to get you out of this car. You will not drown on my watch.
Exactly. I'm like, it's not happening today. So I get her out of the car and she's telling me how cold this water is.
Right.
And she's telling me that it's rising up over her seat. So I'm thinking it's moving water. So, okay. And at this time, it's a holiday where it's cold outside at this time of year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm telling her, okay, ma'am, I need you to get on top of your car. And she's like, it's so cold. I'm like, I know it's cold, but I need you to get up there. And during this whole process, she never knew where she was. Mm-hmm. She gave me a intersection that was nowhere close to where she was. So she's in a very residential area. She can see houses, but they're not close enough to her where she can get a house number. You know, give me a description of what the house looks like and nearest landmark.
She's in a pond.
Exactly. We're thinking she's in like a pond somewhere.
Like, were the three of you working at this time?
No, I was on the other shift.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, it was us too. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah,
so we were working together.
I hold it against her.
She does. And I mean, it.
So you are the full moon that makes everything come out.
Yes, I am. And so she's, you know, we're thinking that she's in a pond somewhere. So we've got officers that ran lights and sirens to this general area and they've got spotlights and they're turning their spotlights, you know, their spotlights. Can you see the spotlights? No, I can't see them. So they're turning on their sirens. Can she hear us? Yeah, I can hear them. Okay, well, it's getting closer. Can you start to see their spotlights? Oh, I can see them. So, you know, the officers get closer and closer. I'm sitting on the phone with her and I'm reassuring her, like, I have got this shit. Like, it's going to be okay. You know, how far is the water now? And she's telling me how far it is up to the car. It's touching the door handle and she's on the car. And I mean, I can hear her teeth chattering. I'm like, okay, well, you know, they're going to be there soon. So finally the first officer gets there and you could tell when he keyed up, he was like, mm-hmm. Like, you could hear it in his voice. And he's dispatch, I'm here. It's going to be a large puddle. We're going to be at this address. It's going to be a residential area. Like, turns out, like, she could see houses if she got off, like, off the car. Like, she could have, like, walked up to a mailbox. Like, this poor woman has broken her window, somehow gotten out of her car, is in a very residential area where I'm sure these people are looking out of their window as she's on her side, on top of the roof,
teeth chattering, fetal position,
freaking out. I'm like, ma'am, you've got this. It's okay. We're going to do this.
Oh, my Lord.
She used up all my compassion for the next month. After that, I'm like, you're a liar. You're a liar. You are not thinking. I don't believe it. Mm-mm. Try again.
Not what, you don't need CPR. I don't exactly. believe it. I can hear you. You're gasping a little bit. You got some breath going.
Breathing ish.
Yeah, you're fine.
Choking? No. You called 911. You're fine.
Yeah, exactly. Should have been eating that.
Exactly. She just.
That'll learn you.
I mean.
That's still, awesome.
Years later, I'm like, no, it's not funny when people bring it up. She used up.
It's all. Only me. I'm the only one.
She's the only one, but still, I mean, it gets to me every time she brings it up. Stop talking about it.
Because I know. I can see you tensing up when you were saying it.
I even hit her up on Facebook and Instagram. I'm like, hey, how's that puddle?
It gets to me every time.
Oh, man. That was great.
She's dramatic. A bit.
Okay. So maybe I'm a little bit dramatic, but can you imagine being the officer being like, yeah, like she's on her side and it's a large puddle.
Next time you do, like, get a sinking vehicle, you're like, okay, is this a pond or is this a puddle? I need you to be very specific.
No, I have memorized those cards. It is not going any way what up? Because like if I've got to get you to break your window, right, be on your side in like 40 degree weather without a coat, it is going to be some rapid moving water.
Oh man. I wish I could have been the officer out there or with him just to see that, because that would have been cool.
The tone of his voice was hilarious.
Yeah.
Dispatch, she's in a puddle.
Okay, it wasn't hilarious. It wasn't.
It was really funny.
It wasn't. It was not funny.
She's like, what side of the puddle is the light coming from?
No.
Man, you were going all out. She's like, What's the wind direction?
Listen, if I could have like fashioned a sail out of her shirt, I would have been like, listen, this is how you're going to do this. And we're going to get you to safety.
Hey, at least we work hard.
Hey, exactly. Yeah. I mean, yes. Like I said, you use all your resources, everything that you have to get the job done. And that's what you did.
I did.
So well done, even though it pisses you off. Well done. Oh, that was great. Well, thank you very much, all three of you, for being on the show. This has been an excellent episode, and we're going just over 50 minutes now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't even get to my best or worst call.
I didn't get to my funny.
Hey, well, you guys are going to be here all week, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then we'll have to do a part two then.
Yes.
Yeah, part two.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I said a boot.
I was thinking you were trying to talk Canadian.
Yeah, right. Like
which
I said
you
earlier.
You said you couldn't earlier, so yeah. you lied. Yourself wrong.
Yeah. Eh? Yeah, when I was in the UP of Michigan, they actually have kind of an accent as well, and they were saying stuff like that all the time. They were like, "Oh, you're local. You're local. You're from Michigan, eh?" And I was like, "Yeah, I am." He goes, "But you're under the bridge." And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "You're a troll. You know that, eh? Right?" And I was like, "Damn, that's right." Because anything under the bridge is considered a troll. Some little funny thing that, they have going on. I thought it was funny.
I love it when I get a caller that has a really cool accent. I'll be like,
yes.
If it's not an emergency, of course, I'll like, if it's a lockup, I'm like, what color did you say your car was?
Exactly. Just to like,
keep talking. And I'll like stay on the phone with them. I'm going to stay on the line with you in case anything changes for this lockout. Until an officer gets there.
Yeah. So what kind of bands do you like? You know?
Exactly.
What do you eat?
What are you doing every time?
Yeah. I think I've actually done that before too without thinking about it. But yeah, we will definitely have to do a part two because I'm here the rest of the week as well. And like I said, thank you very much for being on the show. Happy Dispatchers Week.
Thanks.
And for those listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be on the show, you can email the show, and that is wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's @911podcast. You can also find us on Facebook and like us, and that is facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. You can hear the show. It's available 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and thejeberlog.com. And for all of this week, for these episodes here at NINA at the conference, we are sponsored by Indiana NINA and InDigital. Have a good one.